Well, I desire your prayers. My comfort zone is back there. And I have a lot of thoughts on my heart this morning that I feel like the Lord gave me, and I'm a little nervous, so I really appreciate your prayers. Brother Bobby, could we sing the first verse of 172? I feel like the Lord has given me a few scriptures here. I'm going to do a lot of scripture reading and pray that the Lord will bless it to you all this morning. Let's go to the book of Revelations 2 and the 7th verse. The Lord sent a message to the churches in that area, and I'm not going to read all of what's here, but He finished off each message with a particular comment. Him that overcometh. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now I want to read, let's drop down to Revelation 2 and 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now we know what the second death is. The first death is when you die, and the second death is when your soul is lost. It's when God says, depart from me. But the Scripture says that him that overcometh, not just him that floats through life and manages to make it without any problems and come to the end of the life and say, wow, that was easy. You know, the Lord didn't plan it that way for any of us. The Lord has things for us that we have to overcome in order to make it. And I want to read one more here. And I'm going to come back and repeat some of these as we go along. And I'm not going to read all. There's 7 of these. So I'm not going to read them all today. In the 3rd chapter, in the 5th verse. It says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know, I think it's 1 John, it says that we have an advocate with the Father. And how valuable it'll be to have that person up there when we get to the end. And he says, this one's mine. I sent tribulation. There was tribulation in this person's life. And there were things that he could have easily given up. And there were things that he could have, and maybe everybody would have looked on and said, well, you can't blame him for doing that. And for Jesus to say, this one belongs to me. Let's read in the 21st verse of the 3rd chapter. It says, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even, this is our advocate. Even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. You know, I feel like for us to succeed spiritually this morning, we have to overcome those things that are in our life. I think of the song that there's number 223. In the 3rd verse of that song, it says, shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. And that song is about going on. And you know, God did not intend for us to go. I thought of the, I have a person in mind, a specific person that years ago we were talking, the friend, and this person said, there are 4 people in my life that if those 4 people were not in my life, I feel like I could make it. I feel like I could be successful. These 4 are a hindrance to me. And you know, you can think of, okay, well maybe God sent those people in their life. Maybe God sent them to help those people. Maybe there's many things. But you know, if those people were not in this person's life, if somehow they could skirt around the problem, if you have something like that and you manage to get out of it, where is the overcoming? And you know, we can float through life like that. And there are a lot of times where we'll run from things that will make us afraid. But God wants us to overcome. There will be times where we may have a nasty neighbor. There will be times where we may have an annoying friend. And God does want us to help those people. And He wants us to, and He may send bigger things in our life later, and He sends those to prepare us for those things. But there's another element here that's important all by itself, and that is that He wants us to overcome. Because when we get to the end, it says He's going to confess us before His Father and say, "This person overcame as I also overcame." You know, we have a lot of things. Sometimes we may have things that come built into us. We may have temperaments that are very difficult and things, and we may say, you know, I've had this all my life. I've had bitterness all my life. I'm going to tell you, my natural person, I can hold grudges for years. That's just who I am. I know some people can just, maybe they'll flare up and then 5 minutes later everybody's best friends again. That's not who my natural person is. And I've had to fight with that. But you know the Lord gives us power to overcome that. To completely overcome that. And I thank the Lord that He's helped me to overcome that this morning. You know, sometimes we may have to go back and say, "Lord, I failed here." And I'm not talking this morning. I don't want people to think that I'm saying we can get to the place where we never make any mistakes and we've got all of our faults purged out and our personality's perfect and everything. But you know, the Lord will put His finger on the place in our life, and He's done this with me many times, and say, "Child, I've got this. You've got this that's in your life, and I have the grace for you to conquer that, and it's time to do that." And when He does that, we can go with a confidence that He's got the grace, and He's got the power, and He's got the strength. I'm not talking about an extreme amount of self-control this morning and just a willpower, and I'm big enough to get over anything in my life. But we go as far as we can go, and then whatever the deficit is, the Lord's going to make it up. He's going to help us this morning. In Romans, there's a place that says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And you know, if there was a title to my little thought this morning, I think it would probably be something like "Overcome or Be Overcome." You know, if we don't overcome those things in our life, there's going to be a time where they're going to overcome us. If we don't overcome our bad temper, if we don't overcome our desire for pleasure, if we don't overcome the bitterness and unforgiveness that can be in our heart, if we don't overcome maybe a lack of self-control, a lack of temperance, those things, the Lord will give us grace to overcome those things. But if we go along and we just push and kick the can down the road, I want to tell you, the churches in the world today, for the most part, the majority of them do not teach an overcoming gospel. They teach that you can sin and the Lord forgives you. And I believe that the Lord, the Bible says that don't sin, but if you do, we have an advocate with the Father. But we can't take that and run with it and say, you know, every time we sin, the Lord's going to forgive us. I sat a while back. I had an occasion to go to a church service somewhere, and somebody got up and preached. And while they were preaching, they said, "You know, I love this grace dispensation." He said, "I've committed enough sins in my life today to send me to hell." And I thought, oh my, you know, that's depressing. Why do you want, who wants something, you know, do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. What does He do? Well, He forgives you of your sins. Well, then what does He do? Well, every time you sin, He forgives you. Don't you want something better than that? Don't you want to be able to say, you know, I used to, every time I got mad, I'd go and I'd hit something. I know of a man that got so mad because he locked his keys in his car. He reared back and hit the window, and he came to work with his hand all bandaged up. You know, there's something better than that this morning. We can overcome those propensities and those things that will try to intervene and keep us. Not only will they keep us out of heaven, but if we go through life and the best we can do is just struggle with a mediocre experience and not overcome those things, we're going to have a miserable existence. But it's a lot better if you can look back and say, you know, I used to hate this person. And now I want them to go to heaven so bad. I don't care what they do. I don't care if we get together. I don't care if I have to spend the whole time biting my tongue and trying to. I want them to go to heaven. I want to spend time with them. I want to love them. I want to help them. That is, and you want to do it. It's a lot better. Out in the world, I feel like what's missing in a lot of areas is the teaching of the power that keeps us from sinning. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Peter that talks about it. It talks about false teachers in the second chapter, and it says they promise them liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. I want to read a little bit of the expectation that God has for His people. Let's go to Romans, the 13th chapter. And let's read the 12th verse through the 14th verse here. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Does that sound like somebody that's out of control? Not in chambering and wantonness. It's talking about sensuality and rioting and drunkenness as somebody that's just totally given to the flesh. Not in strife and envying. That's a hard one sometimes. All of these are so easy to do. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We're going to have to overcome our own flesh, our own self. You know, I think about Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, and he fought that big monster when he came down from the Palace Beautiful. I've read several versions of that book, and in one it's called that dragon, or that thing was called Apollyon, but the other one it was called Self. And it was the hardest battle he fought. And it's going to be the hardest battle we fight too. Sometimes I see, and I'm on the job a lot, and I'll see guys on the job, and they'll be big, strong men. And they're capable. You want them to lift something. You want them to work till 2 o'clock in the morning. They're there. They can do it. But they get a phone call maybe from their wife or something, and you just hear the least offense will just set them off, and they'll start snapping and snarling, or maybe somebody will cheat them out of $5 or something. And I've seen this happen, and they're so. They can't even control their own temperament. You know, there's a place in the Scripture that said, he that ruleth his own spirit is... Let's go to that. Where is that? That's in Proverbs 16 and 32. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, last week I had to work with someone that is kind of an annoying person. And we were working together. And we worked together about every day. And I finally figured out that the foreman on the job put me with him because we were kind of teaming up and nobody else wanted to work with him. And after a while, the foreman, I think he got to feeling bad about it, because after a while he came and he said, "Are you doing okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." He said, "Let me know if there's a major problem." And he asked me several times. Another day he came and he said, "How's so-and-so? You doing okay?" I said, "Well, you know, it's a little trying, but it's all right. It's all right." And he said, "Well, you just let me know if you need a change." I said, "If I can't get along with this guy, I'm not much of a man." And he said, "Yeah, that's right. That's right." And I haven't heard from him again. But, you know, sometimes I think of the scripture that says if you run with the footmen and they've wearied you, how are you going to deal with the horses? You know, there are things in our life that are so much bigger than an employee that annoys you. And if you go through life and you say, you know, I've heard people on the job and other places say, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. He got in my face. I heard a guy, he was talking about, they were in a baseball game. It wasn't a big baseball game. It was a little kids league. And he was one parent and another parent. And he said, the guy that we beat the other guy, and this other guy, he was talking trash to me. And he said, I just couldn't take it anymore. And I didn't say it, but I thought, well, you big baby. I'm sorry. You know, there are much bigger things than that. And the Lord wants us to overcome the feelings that rise up in us sometimes. And the things, because there are going to be times that will stretch us. I know, you know, when I was a child, and I have little children of my own, little babies, they get a little bit hungry and they cry. Well, we don't do that. But where is your breaking point? There is, as we grow, there are things that we look and say, you know, I wouldn't do that. But, you know, there are going to be, as we mature, just like a baby, the Lord's going to bring us. He's going to say, how about this? And then here's this. And then here's that. And what if there's maybe a situation down the road where we didn't have the grace back here to conquer this. And then when the time comes, maybe it's our own son that the Lord wants us to be able to help. And we can't do it. It's a really fearful thought to me this morning. I want to be an overcomer. You know, the Lord didn't say in Revelation, I find it significant that the word overcome is in every one of those messages to the seven churches. It didn't say, I mean, I feel like it's important for the blood to cover us, and salvation's important, and to work for the Lord is important, and to praise the Lord is important. But it didn't say, who him that is of a thankful heart will I give a new name and let him eat of the hidden manna and I'll confess him. It said, he that overcometh. And I think that's an important thing, and a lot of times it's the thing that we miss this morning. We don't want to overcome. Sometimes, I'll tell you, let's read a few more scriptures here. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and this is also good. I'm going to read all the way down into the 14th verse, I think. Says, what shall we say then? First verse, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even also we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that if our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. I want to go to the 8th chapter now. You know, as I said before, I'm not talking about overcoming through our own power and our own might. But there is one who came. He died. He overcame. He sent His Spirit into the world, and that Spirit gives us power to control those things that would prevent us from being an overcomer. Let's go to Romans 8 and the first chapter, the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is speaking of an overcoming here. You can't do this without overcoming. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, this is the key. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. You know, that is the key. We don't have it in ourselves. I remember, and I appreciate the comments before the message about the shepherd and the renewing, the restoring. And sometimes, you know, we'll get in a place where we don't know what to do. I remember a time, it's been several years ago, I got to a place, there was a situation that I fell and I did not handle myself right. And I got to the place where I said, this is the biggest mess. I don't know what to do. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'd fix it if I could, but I don't feel like I can fix it. I don't know how I can overcome this. I don't know how I can come out of this. It's like a hole I've been flung into. And I came and I prayed and I searched and I saw and I didn't know what to do. And I was done. I was at the end. And at that point, you know, the Lord will reach us wherever we're at. He came and I was going to a camp meeting and I went to church. And, you know, it was like the Lord had gone, He probably did, to the preacher and just detailed my problem. I'm sure He didn't know about me, but it was like the Lord had just gone to him and said, all right, this and this and this and this and this. And he just got up and it was just tailor-made for me. I don't know if it blessed anyone else or not. I'm sure it did, but I came out of that and I said, wow, this is amazing. And the Lord will do that for you. Don't ever get to a place where you believe that the Lord cannot reach you where you are. It's not like that. You know, the Lord loves to pull His sheep out of the hole. And I came out of that. And by the help of the Lord, you know, there is a lot of things in our life. We think about overcoming, like, you know, it can reach to some pretty small stuff. I remember when I was younger, the Lord started dealing with me about eating. You know, everybody likes to eat. I like to eat. But one day the Lord said, you know what? You're a pig and a glutton. And I was like, well, that's hard. I mean, what's too much? How do I know? But you know, the Lord will show us, and the Lord helped me to overcome that. Or I don't have to eat until I get so sick I can't move. I used to do that, and I know that there are things about us sometimes. Maybe we don't have self-control. Maybe we say things that we shouldn't say, and then we have to go back and we have to... You know, the Lord can help us with those things. Sometimes I think it's good to make our flesh, to whip our flesh in line. I talked to somebody, it's another minister a while back, and he told me, he said, you know, recently I've decided I'm going to cross my flesh every way I can. He said, I started putting cucumbers in my salad, and I hate cucumbers. He said, I'm doing it because I want my flesh to be in subjection. I want to be able to control my own self. And you may laugh at that, but I think there's something to something like that. But the thing is, he said, I've started liking cucumbers now, so he had to find something else, I think. But you know, you get the point. Our flesh, we cannot get to the end of our life. God's not going to stand and confess our name before the Father if we let our flesh run away from us our whole life. If we couldn't ever come to a place where we say, I'm wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And humble ourselves before people and say, you know, I shouldn't have done it this way. Even if we felt like that we had some justification in what we did. Sometimes it's hard to make yourself do this or that. But I want to tell you, there's something I've found. And it's kind of hard to do. You know what it's called? The power of no. Just say no. Sometimes we need to look at ourselves and just say, no, I will not. Even before it comes down to the wire where we have to choose. Say, if this situation comes up, I will not do this. I will not do that. By the help of the Lord, of course. But sometimes I feel like that we kind of keep some reservations in our heart and hide them there, almost like they're a pet or something. And we won't let them go. We won't make a firm commitment and say, I will not do this. I think we need to be like the three Hebrew children that said, you know, I don't have to think about this. I'm not careful to give an answer here. We have to overcome some things in our life. You know, there's a few things, a few people in the Bible that I was thinking of. I was thinking of Joseph and Potiphar's wife and the situation he got into. You know, I believe that part of overcoming is to remove ourselves from the temptation. There are times when we have to do whatever it takes. Maybe we need to take a different job sometimes. Maybe we need to get rid of the internet. Sometimes we have to take drastic measures to overcome. We're not going to get to the end of our life and justify our failures because we said, you know, I shouldn't have had to give up that. It wasn't sin. But what if it kept us from overcoming? It's not going to work. But sometimes, as hard as we try, we won't be able to get out of the to remove ourselves from the temptation. And that's the position Joseph was in. He was a slave in the house of Potiphar. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't take another job. He couldn't. But you know, the Lord helped him right where he was at. And I want to say, this was in the Old Testament. He didn't have, I feel like we have something very valuable in that the Holy Spirit has sent, has given us power to overcome. If he can do this, if you read that, I want to tell you, it was a real temptation to this guy. And if he could do it, if he could make it, we can overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit anything that comes our way. Yes, we need to remove ourselves from the temptation. Sometimes we can't. And in those times, we need to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, you can help me here. Please help me. There was a couple people in the New Testament. You know, the Lord's disciples had some real failures. Let's go to Luke 22 and the 31st verse. The Lord was talking to Peter. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, see, he didn't realize the power of the devil. He didn't realize how big his own self was. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I'll do anything. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day. Before that, thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And then we know what happened. And you know, there was a time after that, he could have gone away. It would have been so easy to go away. Because, you know, he was a disciple. He had followed the Lord for 3.5 years. He was a close friend. And yet, he had swore that he did not know the Lord. By the most emphatic terms that he could, it wasn't that he just kind of was shy and turned away. He said, I don't know the man. I tell you, I don't know the man. But you know, the Lord helped him to overcome those things in the past. He had power. The Lord gave him power. There was another disciple, Judas, who also made a big mistake. And he realized that he had made a mistake. And you know, if you give me the liberty here, I really don't feel like that Judas thought that Jesus would actually be crucified. I think that he probably thought that Jesus would get out of it, as he has so many times. And, you know, my gain is I've got 30 pieces of silver. Well, he realized what he had done. And he went back in the temple and he said, I don't want any part of this. And he threw the money down on the floor. And at that point, that was a defining moment in Judas's life. He could have, you know, the Lord had grace for Judas. The Lord had a place for him to get to. We could have been reading from the book of Judas this morning. But what a sad story we have instead. He would not accept forgiveness and take the power that the Lord had and plead for mercy. But he went out and hanged himself. It's one of the saddest stories in the New Testament. Look at the contrast between him and Peter. Was what Peter, sometimes I think that what Peter did was even worse than what Judas did. I think I would have probably felt just as bad about it or worse. You know, Peter was right there when Peter knew what was happening to Jesus. Peter didn't do anything to try to stop it. He ran from it. Judas didn't really, I don't think he thought of what the consequences of what would really happen. But when he did, he couldn't ever get over it. I want to go to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and the 14th verse. This is a very encouraging scripture to me. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wherever you are this morning, I want to say, if you've struggled with an addiction for years, if you cannot control yourself, if you cannot forgive, if you cannot apologize, I want to tell you that the Lord has power to just get beyond maybe a little up and down where you're doing better one day and you're not doing better the next day. The Lord can help you to overcome whatever it is in your life that is preventing you from enjoying the blessings of salvation. The Lord, it said, He was all in all points tempted, like as we are. I don't think that that's part of this verse for nothing. As a showcase or something, look at this. He was tempted. And the same power that kept Him without sin is willing to help us to be able to overcome anything that we face in this life. You know, in the Psalms, there's a scripture that says, "For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God I've leaped over." Let's turn to that. There's a bunch of good stuff there. Psalms 18 and the 29th verse. It says, "For by Thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were diminished a little bit." Is that what it says? It says, "Neither did I turn again until they were consumed." Do you see the picture here? This is no depressing thought. This is a gospel that says there are many things in the world that can try to overcome us. Our flesh is so powerful, it's amazing to me how big our own self really is. We can have attitudes that will try to follow us to our death. Maybe some of you don't really struggle with attitudes, but some of us do. Some of us may be able to do anything in a physical sense. Maybe we're a great worker. Maybe we're a strong person. Maybe we're a talented person. But if we don't overcome our own spirit and our own flesh, sometimes we can think, you know, I'm a real man, or we're not really if we can't overcome ourselves. You know, sometimes we have to do some real drastic things. We might have to fast. We might have to. I remember I heard a story about Brother Delmer Wilkins. They said that when this was told at his funeral, he had an explosive temper. I'm sure most of you all knew Brother Delmer. He did not have an explosive temper. He was one of the meekest, most gentle men I ever met. They said that he had an uncontrollable temper. And he got saved one day. And he still struggled with this temper. And they said that one day he went in his room and he locked himself in his room for 2 days. And when he came out, he said he was totally different. The Lord met him there. He did whatever he had to do, and that was to seek the Lord with all his heart until the Lord gave him the victory. And the Lord gave him the victory. He didn't have a temper after that. I knew him. His funeral, I believe, his own son said, "I have never seen him angry." Let's examine ourselves this morning. You know, the Lord wants us to overcome. We must overcome. If we want to make it to heaven, we must overcome. Pray for me.